Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking saying I do with student loans.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
I think the appropriate question these days is, who doesn't have student loan debt, right? If you're in your 20s, in your early 30s, it is quite conceivable that the majority of you listening to this podcast do have some sort of student loan debt, varying to degrees, of course, and depending on what school you went to and maybe, you know, whether it was undergrad or master's degree debt. But I mean, it's just so expensive to get any type of degree, even if you're just going to an online school these days. You know, it can be just as expensive as a private college. And, you know, those loans, obviously, if you have them and you're paying them off, they have a real impact on your life. They really can inhibit you, you know, trying to reach all of these amazing goals that you want to reach. But, you know, there's a lot of questions about what happens when you get married. You know, does that or does that not affect your student loan? Well, in the past, there used to only be a couple of different payment methods for your student loan, right? And when I graduated from my master's degree, that was the case. There was only a few options to choose from. And so when I got married, I wasn't really thinking, okay, how would this actually affect, you know, my student loan? It was just pretty much my student loan was my student loan. I made the payment and I made the payments until the student loan was paid off, right? And one thing I did definitely learn about your student loans is when you're going through divorce, your student loan is your debt and your debt only, right? So if you're married and let's say you've combined different credit cards or different loans, different types of debts that you have, you know, usually in a divorce, those are somehow split up between the two parties. Either, you know, you do a 50-50 split, or maybe you take more, maybe you take less. It just depends on, again, kind of where you live and what the debt is and who's working. I mean, there's so many different factors, but the point is that most every kind of debt you split somehow, but student loan debt, your student loan is always and forever attached to you. It's not something that you can negotiate away, right? It is pretty much what you're going to have to pay for. So I always tell people with like a grain of salt, you know, if you're getting married and maybe you're not having the best relationship before you're getting married and things are a little bit rocky, you're not even sure if you should get married, and you have a lot of student loan debt, just so you know, that debt is always going to be attached to you, right? So it's not something where you can like get married and then, you know, in a year or two you get divorced and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, my spouse or soon to be ex-spouse, they're going to take half of my student loan debt. Doesn't work that way with student loans. And so getting married, it can and cannot necessarily have an impact on your student loans. And this is where it gets really tricky these days, and where I think you need to really like ask yourself some questions ahead of time to think about this. Not that this is necessarily going to stop you from getting married, but I think that, you know, you need to have some sort of grasp on the impact that this could have on your budget going forward. Because getting married is supposed to be like a super joyful, super happy time. In fact, if it's not that when you're getting married, I urge you to kind of like, I'm waving the caution flag to you, because this is the time where it's supposed to be super fun and super exciting. Not that you won't have some stress around, you know, maybe the wedding you're planning, or I don't know, family stress, things like that. But for the most part, you and your future spouse, you guys should be like elated around your wedding. I mean, it should be so super exciting, because there's a lot of crap that comes down the line after you get married. And you got to make sure that the good starts out really good in the beginning, right? So the key question to ask really when you're thinking about this question is, can marriage impact my student loans? Is what type of repayment plan are you on now? Because there's not one size fits all, right? There are so many different types of repayment plans nowadays that's why, you know, we can't just like blatant statement and say, okay, this will or this won't have an impact on your student loans getting married. And also, you know, it really reinforces going and hiring a certified financial planner for an hour, somebody who's really, really knowledgeable at this kind of stuff, that can really look at your entire situation, look at your future spouse's situation, and help you get some answers that really are specific to your own situation, all right?
Life does not happen biweekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie, or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
So if you're on the standard 10-year repayment plan for your student loans, getting married is not going to impact them, right? You have this straight kind of straight line payoff plan. In 10 years, you're going to be paid off. Or maybe you've already consolidated your loans and they're in consolidation and maybe you're paying over 20 or 30 years. And your payment is your payment is your payment, right? It's a fixed rate. It's not adjusting. And whether you get married or not get married, you're going to have the exact same student loan payoff, right? Also, if you have private student loans, if you've had to get a student loan that's not through the federal government, maybe from a bank or, you know, like a Wells Fargo or a Bank of America or something like that, getting married again is not going to impact your student loan payment. Your payment is already set up. And again, depending on the terms of your loan, your payment is your payment is your payment. Now, if you have a variable loan with a private lender, of course, your payments can increase, but that's not tied to you being married. That's just tied to interest rates and other factors like that. So again, it's really important to first start out with knowing what type of payment plan you're actually on, because that's really what's going to make the difference here. Now, if you're on one of these fancy, awesome new income-driven plans, then maybe getting married maybe will affect your plan or your payment. And then this is now when you should pay attention, all right? So a couple of questions to ask yourself. Is your future spouse earning more income than you? If the answer is yes, then your income-driven plan may be higher, because remember, it's based on income, which is good if your income is low, right? So we all want to be on these types of plans when our income is low, because our monthly payment is a percentage of our income. However, if we get married and our spouse has higher income, and then we file married filing jointly with our tax returns, then this will impact your loan. Because again, it's based off of earnings. And when you're kind of mushed together with your spouse, if they have a higher income, this can actually raise your student loan payment. And so these types of plans are the pay-as-you-earn, revised pay-as-you-earn, income-based repayment, and income-contingent repayment plan. Those are the plans that you need to really ask yourself these questions and take a look at your incomes to figure out where you're going to be. Now, the federal student aid, they have this awesome, I guess, site online where they talk about income-driven plans and all the FAQs. And I'm going to put a link to this because this is really, there's so much information here. I wanted to pull out so many different things to tell you about, but I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. And then, you know, if this does apply to you, go over to the link and really read this stuff in depth and see how this you know, pertains to you. So one of the questions that was asked in these FAQs was, will I always pay the same amount each month under an income-driven repayment plan? And the answer straight from the website was no. Under all of the income-driven repayment plans, your required monthly payment amount may increase or decrease if your family or income sizes changes from year to year. Each year, you must rectify your income and your family size. This means that you must provide your loan servicer with updated income and family size information so that your servicer can recalculate your payment. You must do this even if there has been no change in your income or family size. Your payment amount will be effective for the 12-month period after it's calculated. All right, so you basically got 12 months there if your payment has already been recalculated. If you get married somewhere in that time period, you got the remainder of that 12 months. Now, This was also interesting. So the question was, is my spouse's income included when my servicer determines my eligibility for an income-driven repayment plan or my monthly payment amount? Answer, it depends on the plan, again, of course, right? And for some plans, how you and your spouse file your federal income tax. Let me just read the one here for pay plans, income-based plans, and income contingent repayment plan. So the answer was, if you and your spouse file separate income tax returns, your loan servicer will use only your income when determining whether you qualify for the payment plan or the income-based repayment plan when calculating your monthly amount. If you and your spouse file a joint federal income tax return, your loan servicer will use your joint income when determining your eligibility for these plans and calculating your payment amount. However, only your individual income will be used to calculate your monthly payment amount if you are separated from your spouse or are unable to reasonably assess your spouse's income. In this case, you'll provide alternate documentation of your income, such as a pay stub. All right, so you kind of see how it works. If you get married and you file jointly, which most people do, then it will be your payment will be determined based off of that joint income. So again, that's important to ask yourself the question, you know, where are we going to be at with our income and how is that going to change our payment plan? You know, and I've had couples ask me like, well, does that mean we shouldn't get married? I mean, that's a total personal decision. That's not a decision that I can certainly make for you. I'm not sure I would say don't get married just because of your student loan payment, but I'm also not in your situation and I'm not in your budget and I'm not in your bank account and I don't know any of those factors. So that's a really tough like brush to sweep over. So that's really why communicating with your spouse, your future spouse, about everything that has to do with money is so important. And I know these topics suck. It's not like you want to like, you know, spend a weekend going like, hey, let's talk all about our money stuff and how much money we owe and if we're going to be screwed or not screwed after we get married. I mean, these aren't fun topics. Nobody likes to like take time and talk about these. Even when you're seasoned pro and you know that you should talk about these topics, they're not fun to talk about. They make you want to like crawl in a hole basically, right? Because it just like opens Pandora's box for arguments, for frustrations, for you to feel bad or someone to make you feel guilty or, you know, all of those certain things. But it's so important to talk about these things because if you can navigate these before you get married and you can really be on the same page with your spending and your savings, and even down to a weekly basis, like, hey, what are we trying to achieve this week? You know, where are we at this week? It does really help to squash kind of the fire that erupts when talking about money. So people are always looking for loopholes, right? Well, can't we just file our tax returns separately and not have any of this issue? Well, for one, if you do file separately, you automatically cannot deduct the above-the-line student loan deduction. So you lose the ability, if you do married filing separately, to claim that deduction. Now, again, I'm not in your finances, so I don't know what makes most sense, right? Does it make sense for you to not have that student loan deduction, but to lower your student loan payment? I don't know, right? That is really a question question that you should have for a CPA or an accountant. Is it just another reason why, you know, if you're getting married, any year that you're getting married, I always say, you know, it's such a good idea to hire a certified financial planner or hire an accountant for that year, even just buy a couple hours to talk about these questions so that you have guidance like going into this and that you're not trying to like pedal backwards because it's really hard to undo these things, right? Once you file married filing separately, you lose that deduction, period. Period. It's done. It's over, right? It's in the can. It's done. It's over.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rena Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about money is hard. You know this already. All over the world, people are taught to never talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. On 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meeting from executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines, host and financial conversationalist Carl Richards will remove money from that list by having frank, funny, and often difficult conversations about money, the kind we're all told not to have, with guests from all walks of life. In each episode, Carl will invite a new guest to answer the question, "What does money mean to you?" Their answers will reveal much more than their attitudes about money, spanning revelations about identity, community, faith, family, and the true meaning of wealth. Tune in to hear deep conversations about money and the meaning it holds in our lives. You can find 50 Fires on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So I just want you to think about these things and think about, you know, does the loophole, well, it's not really a loophole, right? But does the decision to do married file separately, does that actually make sense in my situation? And it's, again, it's more than just one isolated decision. So what do you do, right? What do you do if you're kind of in this debacle? Well, you know, a federal consolidation loan may help. You know, it may help just kind of smooth things out with your student loans. Again, a lot of the consolidation loans, they offer a longer period, payoff period, some as much as 30 years. And of course, while that's good because it lowers your monthly payment, the downside is that you end up paying a lot more in interest over that life of that loan. So if you pay that off in 30 years, you know, you're paying significantly more in interest than you would if you paid it off in even 20 years, right? So those are another, you know, couple of things for you to think about. I think if you do the loan consolidation where you're paying a lower payment over a longer period of time, you know, the year is really where you are making more money, where there is more disposable income, you know, really coming up with a strategy to dump more into your student loan payment, even if it's only, you know, an extra $50 or $100 a month, it starts to really make a lot of progress in your student loan payoff. You would be so surprised. You know, another idea is you can look at alternate financing with companies like SoFi. But again, if you refinance a federal loan with a private lender, you give up a lot of benefits in the future. If you want to go back to school and you want to, you know, have deferment on your student loans and things like that, you know, you give that up, right? Because you aren't with a federal loan anymore. You're with a private lender. Now, a lot of these lenders have great programs. Like SoFi's got a great program if you're an entrepreneur. And there are a lot of, you know, benefits to going to alternate refinancing. But this is not a one size fits all. This is really a decision that you have to make and make with your future spouse of, you know, just what makes most sense for, you know, our own particular situation. So again, you want to think about, okay, what is the income situation going to look like once we get married? Who has the student loan debt? Do we both have the student loan debt, or does just one of us have the student loan debt? What type of plan are we currently on? Because that's going to have a big impact as to whether getting married has an impact on your student loan payment. And then, you know, how much can we reasonably afford for student loan payoff? You know, and that just comes back to, again, knowing your numbers. That just comes back to having a really firm grasp over the income, which is the easy part. And then the expenses, which is the tough part. You know, what expenses are you going to have together? What is it going to look like together? You know, it's one thing to think about, okay, oh, I spend, you know, I'm just making this up. Let's say I spend $100 a week on groceries. And okay, so, you know, what most engaged couples do is like, all right, let's budget $100 for groceries. Well, you forget the fact that it's two people coming together, right? So that means two mouths you got to feed. And suddenly that $100 goes to $150 or $200 a week. And you don't account for that. So the budget can look super skewed, you know, until you actually start living together and you have a real sense of what you're spending. And it may be that one person ends up having more expenses than the other person. I mean, that is a really realistic scenario that happens in the majority of marriages. Again, it shouldn't come with guilt and shame and all of those terrible things. It's just the reality, and it just needs some sort of plan behind it, right? So all of these things just need a little forethought. Not, you know, if you're getting married, you're exciting. It's not like you have to spend hours and hours and hours debating these things, but a little forethought, a little thinking about strategy, a little thinking, asking questions, you know, of your future spouse. How do you think about this? How do you feel about this? You know, is this important to you? Is this not? And that really helps you come together and have a partnership mentality to your marriage and not just your kind of individual isolated views on things. That's really where all of the clashes come about, and the nasty arguments and the slinging words and insults and things like that, right? So I'm a huge fan of, like, let's try and eliminate that as much as we can. So again, I'm going to provide a link to the Federal Student Aid Income-Driven FAQs. It's super packed full of some amazing question and answers. That would be my first place that I would start if I was you. And then I really wouldn't hesitate to do all the research you can, but also reach out to a professional, buy an hour of their time, ask their opinion of how this is going to actually impact your own situation. Because when it comes down to it, you can read a million different articles and you can have a million different opinions, but until you have someone look at your situation, you don't know what is actually going to work for you. And that's really, really, really important, all right? So as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Shauna Game, Instagram at millennial_money.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.